Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We've heard the familiar expression, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I've had certain circumstances down through life where job assignments were made and there were no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Just want obedience to the request. And we use that statement maybe in dealing with our children. We demand from them our compliance with what we have asked of them, and there's to be no variation from the direction, just do what we ask you. Well, this afternoon, I'd like to take that expression, no ifs, and buts about it, and notice that when it comes to the Scriptures, there are some ifs, there are some ands, and there are some buts. These words are used hundreds of times in the Scripture, and this afternoon, I'd like for you to think with me about some of those. First, the ifs. Now, the word if, that little two-letter word, is a conditional word. Webster defines it as on condition that, or a stipulation, certain things will happen on condition that we do our part. And we think of a number of statements in Scripture where ifs are given. For example, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12, 13, and 14, and I'd like to read that. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What we see here is that God wanted to bless his people. But if they turn from him, he would punish them. Right in the middle of that punishment is a conditional if. And what a great passage this is. It's been used as a motivation for revival in the nation. What better challenge than the challenge of, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, will heal their land. We've strayed, we've sinned, we've shunned those moral principles which have brought great blessings to this nation. Now there's the need, if we humble ourselves, if we pray, if we seek the Lord's face, if we turn from our wicked ways, that conditional if is, then the Lord will continue to bless and cause us to prosper. And there are several other ifs as they relate to the child of God. For example, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, down through verse 23, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Hear that conditional term. If you continue in the faith being that body of teachings that pertains to the gospel of Christ, that God's scheme of redemption, that Paul said that he now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. And then there's a conditional if in Hebrews 3, verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end, a conditional statement, if we hold fast. And then in verse 14 of Hebrews 3, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And then there's that conditional if in Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The condition of reaping has to do with remaining steadfast. And so that conditional if is there. And another is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 down through verse 11. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now what Peter's speaking of here is adding the Christian graces, that we call them, adding to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience brotherly kindness, love. And he says, if these things be in you and abound, then you'll be barren, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful. So there's a conditional, that these must be in you. And then if you do these things, you shall never fall. But there's a condition on continuing to do those things. In each of these passages, there is a condition or stipulation to our finally reaching the wonderful home of the soul. There's the if of our continuing steadfastly, the if of holding firm to the end, the if of adding the Christian graces to our lives. And then we come to that little word, and. When the statement, no if, ands, or buts are about it, there are some ifs, and there are some ands. Again, Mr. Webster defines the word as meaning used as a function word to indicate connection or addition, especially of items within the same class or type, used to join sentence elements of the same grammatical rank or function. So and is a coordinate conjunction joining things. And there are hundreds of verses where the Lord has connected things of equal importance together. Let's consider some of these ands of Scripture. They are the ands of salvation. Our Lord said in verse 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Isn't it amazing that no one has a problem with the first part of the 16th verse? And yet many people argue that one need not be baptized. They have no problem with the belief. Yet much division has resulted from the second part of the verse, and baptism is a battleground in the religious world. Yet the little word and joins things of equal value, equal rank or function, and joins both belief and baptism together. Or again in Acts 2:38, when people were convicted of their sins, they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? By inspiration, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. It is seen again in Acts 22:16, where Saul was told to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So there is a direct connection between baptism and the washing away of sins. It's that word again, and. And then not only and in connection with salvation, but there are the ands connected with living the Christian life. In Acts 2:41-42, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Faithful devotion to the Lord must follow baptism. Grace does not allow one to just live any way he might desire, and so he is to walk in newness of life. We see the and in the words of Christ in John 19. He said in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand. Here's one of the great passages expressing the assurance we have in Jesus. And it's truly sad that some have misinterpreted our Lord's meaning of this verse. Some have said this passage implies the impossibility of one being saved to ever be lost. But Jesus said of his sheep, they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand. That blessed assurance to these thoughts is conditional. And there's that big and in the passage. Look at the passage again. Are your Bibles open? Read with me what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There it is, plain and simple. Who are the ones that shall never perish? It's the ones who follow Jesus. Not followed for a while, then turned back into the world. Of those, Peter stated, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. 1 Peter 2, verse 20. He goes on to give in very graphic terms what happens to one who turns back. And he says it's according to the true proverb about a dog and about a sow. Well, in John 15, 6, Jesus says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So surely from these statements, we can clearly see the doctrine of once saved, always saved, as being untrue. But we come to the buts. Often the statement made, no ifs, ands, buts about it, but there are buts in the Bible. By definition, this word implies on the contrary, or except that. And it's a word that's found a number of times in the Scriptures. In Romans 5, verse 6 and 8, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there are buts in Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 4, Mark 10, 29 through 30, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So our relationship with the Lord is conditioned on understanding the meaning of these little words. He stands at the door and knocks. If any man will hear his voice and open the door, he will come into them and sup with him and he with me. So we have to hear the word of God. We have to repent of our sins, be buried with Christ in baptism after making the good confession, and then be faithful in living for Him all the days of our life. And if we have strayed from the way, God's second law of pardon is to repent, ask His forgiveness, come back to Him.